As an employee-owned financial firm, Baird offers advice solely focused on clients' needs, while consistently investing in their expertise and capabilities to serve those in need. More information at baird-difference.com.
I'm fine. Nice to be with you again, Mike. Hope you're well.
When I can give you a forecast of sunshine for a few days and we can go back and talk about last weekend and how it was 85 on Saturday and 80 on Sunday and
the Reds win streak of one. Does that help you too? You
know? That's right. That broke up 11 in a row the other direction. So we are panning for any gold we can find this early in the season. They're injured. They got to get guys off the disabled list, and they'll try to claw back in the National League Central. But the world's greatest college weekend, it should come with an asterisk because it seems like every year that we are quote unquote normal. There is issues that pop up, and I don't think. And I talked about this yesterday, Mayor Hamilton. It's when you get that many people together, it's impossible to have perfect. And I don't think that we should ever lower our standards, not to expect perfect. But sadly, gun violence seems to be normal almost anywhere you look these days when a big group of people gathers. I don't know why that is. I'm not a sociologist. I'm not a criminologist. I'm not an epidemiologist. I don't have any ology in my background. But sadly, that overshadowed what was a really fantastic weekend here in Bloomington. Just your thoughts on the first responders who had to be there at 1 o'clock in the morning, a block up the street from where I work, and how everything was handled in general on what should be the world's greatest college weekend.
Yeah, thanks. You know, it's first probably worth reminding ourselves that most people who participate in that big weekend, and congratulations to all the competitors and the fans and all that most people have a safe weekend, and they you know, we have a lot of police out in force because big groups get into parties and they make bad decisions, and so we definitely are ready for that, but most people get through it safely. It is upsetting and disturbing and worrisome when what could have been a bar fight into a bar shootout or shots is much worse, of course. And we're frankly fortunate that it wasn't worse in the sense of somebody pulling a gun in a crowded bar and firing bullets can cause all.
Well, it's never a good idea.
Worse problems, and so you know we're still investigating that. There's evidence to lead us, there's a suspect and there's additional investigations going on to actually figure out if the second person was linked or not. We don't know the person who's found a block and a half away with a gunshot wound as well. So look, it's frustrating to know what to do. We certainly use and honor our first responders who had to be there and get there and respond to this stuff. And we do all we can to help people prevent this kind of work, and I hope we catch the person who's responsible and hold them accountable. But it is very frustrating in what otherwise can be an exciting and fun and memorable weekend for lots of good reasons to have it turn into a weekend that some are going to remember for very bad reasons.
Now, do we keep stats or figures on these major weekends of things like this happening over the years, and can we trace where the problems come from? I know we can't check everybody at the border and say, hey, you know, do you have a gun or not, or why are you here? We're not doing that. Freedom comes with costs and privilege and everything else, but it seems like it's the out of town crowd. Is that a gross? Is that a gross assumption?
Well, you know, certainly the Little Five brings people from all over the state and beyond to come, and some come for parties and some come for the competition. But we are always watching for major parties that may be pulling in folks that we do have some history of the kinds of parties that can cause more problems. You know, we're used to lots of arrests. There's a lot of people, responding on Sunday and Monday out cleaning up our streets and helping through the criminal justice system that responds to people. But, you know, I think the police chief was interviewed about all this and just the general concern about how much more often we see guns being drawn when it used to be a fistfight or people walking away. And it's frustrating. We need to encourage people to keep de-escalating when these kinds of things happen, whether you're involved directly or not, to try to help people calm down rather than get amped up. We had a kind of a road rage incident that was involved a shooting in the last week or so too. And I wish I had an answer, Mike, you know, to how do we keep people from shooting each other? Bloomington has had more shots fired in the last year than we typically do. Again, we've been fortunate that they've not taken many lives. We had, you know, I wish we had better legislation. We need better social services and mental health systems. But for most people, it was a really good weekend. For some people, they really went the wrong direction. They need to be held accountable by the criminal justice system. That's ultimately, you know, we got to let people know if you do that kind of thing, you're gonna go to jail.
Now, you've been at this a lot longer than I have, in the sense of being in with public policy and safety of public safety and the such. It seems like whatever deterrent there is for firing a gun is just either not a deterrent enough, or people just have not or don't think they're going to get caught. What's the disconnect there? We know the gun issue, as I was talking about yesterday, the people that we're talking about do not go wait the standard waiting period, do not take lessons, do not lock it up in a safe when they get home. This is not that. This isn't who we're talking about. These people find ways to get them, and people who get them are pretty much going to use them. Is the deterrence just not there, or do they think they're not going to get caught, or? I know you don't have the answer, but what do you feel? I know you look at more studies and talk to more law enforcement people than I do. I'm just looking for any way to make heads or tails of this, because it is prevalent, and it seems like, well, it's no big deal. Well, how is no big deal getting across to these folks?
It is a big deal. And look, I'm incredibly proud of our police department. They do a great job. And of course, they're the people that we want armed in these situations, who are trained and there to protect all of us, including all of us who make bad decisions at certain times, or make mistakes, or have things happen.
Attempted murder, though, that's a one-time really bad decision, or murder. Those are poof.
Yeah, they're terrible. The criminal justice system works, but we do have behaviors. I don't know, over the last, you know, number of years, the number of guns around has gone up dramatically. More people are buying guns and carrying guns. People often don't realize that when you have a gun in your house, the most likely is going to be used by or against somebody in the house, a suicide, a domestic argument, somebody, you know, using the gun. They tend to hurt people in the house more than somebody else. And that's, we have a misperception. Other cultures are not like America. It's really interesting that we just have dramatically more gun violence than any country on earth, and dramatically so. So it's a cultural question. And I hope people ask that question, and I hope families and parents and those who are interested or considering firearms really think about, what is it for? When do you have it? How do you keep it? You have the expectations that that's just not as, we're just not going to have it in the country, but we're a long way from that. We need to keep educating. We need to keep de-escalating. But at the front line, we have amazing police officers who are incredibly well trained to de-escalate, to deal with these situations. They did a great job Friday night, Saturday morning again, and we're going to keep investing in them and helping make sure they have the tools they need to keep us safe.
Mayor John Hamilton is our guest. He joins us every Tuesday afternoon. And before we get off the little five weekend and move on to other important things, do you have did you see the arrest numbers? Were they up, down, comparisons to 2019? We know when the weather's nicer, it tends to encourage more to be out and about.
I have not seen the numbers. I will get them probably, but I'm sorry I don't have them to report today. I do know that there were a few public safety officers wishing for cold rain on Saturday, but that didn't happen. So I can get those by next time.
Sounds good. I just again, if they're right on average, they're right on average, and it's just always interesting to see when the weather's that nice how if the sliding scale goes yeah. along with it. Mayor Hamilton, as I mentioned, is our guest. Tomorrow is a big day as well. The City Council, after taking another week to look into the tax rate increase. Well, you're a very popular man this afternoon. If you get onto the HeraldTimesOnline.com, stories about county officials and local officials talking about how the tax, either with the sliding scale of inflation or how it all works itself out, maybe a piece of it everybody agrees on. First of all, what is going to take place tomorrow night, and then we'll get into the rebuttal from what we saw in the local sure. paper today.
Tomorrow night, I expect we'll have more discussion of the local income tax at the City Council. I actually don't think they're probably going to vote on it. There's going to be one member missing, which under the new regimes of state law, it may mean that they got to wait another week. So we'll find that out for sure tomorrow. But I wouldn't be shocked, but there will be a discussion and presentation and hearing and questions and public comment, et cetera, on it. So I expect that to go forward, but I wouldn't be surprised if the vote moves to next week.
Gotcha. So just from a numbers standpoint there, does that give it more time to be bandied about? In the last week, we know Little 500 was last weekend. We know people were missing meetings and out of town and doing the such. What kind of politicking has been going on now for the last couple of weeks? Is it more educational? Is it each side presenting the viewpoint? Is this an all or nothing agreement you're looking at? We know the bonds went through, but now this is the tax rate's a little bit different because you just suggest it, right? That's all you can do.
That's right, and I think there's been a lot of discussion. I propose, and then the City Council has to vote on it, and all nine of them are talking together. There are different viewpoints. I think there's very fruitful discussions going on. I actually think the nine of them are kind of getting close. There's a fair amount of shared view. I think that all of them agree we need revenue, and virtually all agree that we need revenue for a few different purposes, including public safety and including basic city services that have to keep up with a growth of a city, growth of population, growth of costs, et cetera. And then I think there's also a fairly shared view of a few key areas that we need to invest in, including Bloomington Transit, housing affordability, some work to improve energy efficiency and those kind of things. And I think they're all getting pretty close on that balance, but it's not completely done, I wouldn't say. It's possible they'll surprise us tomorrow. I know there were discussions in the media, too, about different views from county council members. And I think, actually, if you kind of read closely of that, most of the council members in the county also agree they're going to need revenue, in particular for major criminal justice efforts, or just talking about overall criminal justice and the jail, the court system, the intervention system, the mental health system, the substance use disorder, the kind of trying to intervene and decrease engagement with the criminal justice system. All that's going to need major investment. I think if you read between the lines in the county council, they recognize that as well, though they may not be quite as far down the road in terms of knowing exactly how much they need. So we're going to continue to see discussion. I'm optimistic and hopeful. I think we will get a vote pretty soon, and I think it will embrace what is really important for the future, and that is to be able to fund these critical parts of our city going forward.
Now, from a philosophy angle here, is it easier to do everything and under the umbrella you've proposed than have to, I don't want to say fight this battle, but to try to do this piecemeal over the next couple or 3 years? Is it just, is this like rip the Band-Aid off and just let's get going on it instead of trying to have the same fight year after year after year? Not fight, that's not the right word. The same discussions, though, year after year after year.
I do think it's, you know, these can happen every few years, but it's pretty unlikely to happen every year. This is, you know, we've just kind of caught up with this. So, you know, we did pass a public safety local income tax collectively as a county back in 2016. So that's now 6 years ago. That's been critically important to improve our dispatch service, our shared radio service, so everybody in the county can talk to each other in an emergency, which was really important to get fixed, and also our police and fire, and I know some other public safety. But this, we haven't raised the general local income tax for more than 40 years now, almost 30 plus years, and the city and actually everybody's changed a lot since then. So it does take a kind of to rip the Band-Aid off is probably a good way to describe it. Now, one interesting thing that hasn't hit the media much is we've been looking at who pays the tax, and you can't get exact data on our county, but if you look at the state, the 20% of the people who have the lowest income, so those are income tax payers who have the lowest income, make up less than 4% of the revenue that will come in. And 50% of the revenue that will come in comes from the highest 20% earners. So even though it's a flat tax, you know, more than half the money coming in that will support Bloomington Transit and our police departments and fire departments and housing and basic services. More than half of that comes in from the highest income earners. And that's a good thing because they can afford it more. Another thing people often don't remember in Indiana is we don't tax Social Security income. So if you're a senior earning Social Security income, that's not taxed at all. And this income tax won't change that at all. So there's a lot of protections to try to make sure it's people who can afford it that pay it. And these are fundamental investments in the future of the city that we need to make, from my perspective, to keep life good for the next generation.
Why do you think the business community, we saw the Greater Chamber, I can never get this right, the Greater Bloomington Chamber of Commerce, yeah. They had a survey that didn't seem to agree with significant parts of what you are putting forward. Do they believe that's something yeah. that private business should handle, or is it just too much at one time point of view?
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of it is how you ask a question, because even in that survey, when they said 90% don't support the proposal as it was, a substantial number, and officially the chamber supports new taxes, new revenue to invest in public safety and to invest in transit. So if you go through and then you look at that, well, then dig a little deeper, that means they don't support, at least in the way that survey was asked, they don't support investing in affordable housing, or maybe not so much in other parts of climate change, energy efficiency, et cetera. And it's not shocking to me. It's unusual to ask people, would you like revenue to go up to do these basic services? People can tend to have heard a lot of dialogue about, you know, no, don't raise taxes. Even though we're a very low tax jurisdiction, a very low tax state, we kind of get anchored in on what we think they ought to be. But look, we can't, We used to have 5 street cleaners in the city of Bloomington. We're down. We only have 2 now. So we're not keeping our streets as clean. We used to have 10 people who would go out and work on our traffic signals, and we're down to 6. We're not doing as we should be. We used to have a mechanic for every 45 vehicles in the city. We now have a mechanic for 65 every 65 vehicles. So, you know, we've tightened our belt and we're limiting things. We used to have an abandoned railroad down there by off of Rogers, and now we have a 62-acre park, and we got to have people who plant it and cultivate it and keep track of it and keep the playground safe and all that stuff. So it's you know, taxes are our fee that we pay to keep civilization going, to keep our city strong, and to keep the future bright. And it's time to make that move. And I think most people, when they look around, they say, well, we want a response to homelessness. We want to help people get housing. We want to make more affordable home ownership for people. We want better energy efficiency so that we can reduce our dependence on fossil fuels. But it if you want that, it generally takes government money to invest in making some of that stuff happen.
Now, it looks like almost everybody is agreeing that public safety should come to the forefront. Is there a mechanism where, if the rest of this doesn't go according to Hoyle, where you can just go to the local safety income tax and adjust that? Is that an option, or is that something more of a last ditch effort? I don't know how that works.
Yeah, I think really, you know, we did have an exclusive public safety local income tax increase 6 years ago, again in 2016. I think the city council, again, it's up to them. I tend to agree with them on this, but I think most members of the city council believe that pure, just public safety is not what we need right now. We have a range of needs. We have to be sure that we're investing in other city employees as well. It's difficult getting bus drivers and heavy equipment operators and firefighters. So we need to make sure we have income for that. It's also important for, you know, cybersecurity is a pretty big word that keeps me worried every week as we think about what's happening around the world. We didn't worry about that 10 years ago. And I think most people would understand we got to keep our computer system safe. Most businesses are doing that. So I really do think what you find is that the city council is looking at a balance of uses for the income. And I think they're going to end up with that balance, which will include public safety, but other needs as well.
And again, as of this moment right now, you do not believe that the city council will have enough bodies to vote, not willingness or any. They just won't. It's just not ready yet, right?
I think the odds are it's probably going to take one more week, and in part because they're not all going to be there tomorrow night, from what I understand. And that's okay. We do have a fair amount of time pressure to. We got to start preparing budgets for next year, so we need to know what we have. But we can weather another week, and so probably have some discussions tomorrow night, and then I expect the voting on May 4th, probably.
All right, before we let you get out of here, I know you're a busy man, but I know you wanted to talk about Catalent. We had talked about this for a couple of months. We were down to the American Idol final voting for where Catalent's going to go and where they're going to do, and I think everybody's excited that they've picked Bloomington. We know they're going to add jobs, very high-paying jobs. Did they give a time frame for that, Mayor Hamilton? That's the only thing I think I got lost in the story. Is this going to be enacted over a 5-year, 10-year, 2-year? How is Catalent in this deal beneficial, obviously, for the city? That's the dumb question part. How is it going to work here in the short term?
Well, it's a really big day for Bloomington and actually the whole region. You know, Catalent came to town 5 years ago or so and bought Cook Pharmica, which was spun out of Cook Medical. And they had 750 employees at the time, and they're now up over 3,000, and they're going to go up over 4,100 employees. It's a really an extraordinary $350 million investment, which is as large as any single investment that I know of in that way. So I do want to thank the city council. They approved some tax abatement, which is basically a fancy word for phasing in the property taxes as they invest all this new money. We phase in the taxes over a period of time, 10 years, 20 years for some of it. And their commitment on the tax abatement is a multi-year time period. I think it's about 5 years to get all that employment, or they violate the agreement and we claw back some of that phase in. But I think the expectation is they're going to move really quite quickly over the next 18 months or so to try to ramp that up. They've got plans for, you know, new bioreactors, new fill lines. It's very sophisticated. $340 million of that money is for equipment. So you can imagine high-tech science, technology, medical bioreactors and technical equipment. 1,000 new employees, as you mentioned, it's an average wage of $32 an hour. That's, you know, translate to $65,000 wage or so for the year. So it's really going to help people in our community, and we're very excited about it and looking forward to continuing to work with them. And what? If you're interested in a job, go talk to Catalent.
Oh, I tell you what. That's the other thing that's interesting. There's two things that are interesting. Number one, those jobs do not guarantee Monroe County people getting them, right? Anybody from
Correct.
Anywhere can apply from these, so we want to make Absolutely. Sure everybody's aware of that. And number two, are they on a deadline of you got to do X by Y or Y by Z to make sure these abatements all stay in there, or are we just trusting the process moving forward?
They actually have made three specific commitments. I don't know that I know all the details by
gotcha.
Memory by year, but that they number one, to invest $350 million. Number two, to hire 1,000 more people. And number three, to pay a total and average wage of $64,032 an hour. And if they don't meet any of those three in substantial measure over the next few years, tax phase in gets clawed back, if you will, and they owe that amount. So they're I would say they're careful in their commitments. They want to be sure they can make them. So we're pleased with that, and we will be monitoring. And there's a report every year to City Council on how they're doing on those three measures.
Gotcha. So you will be paying attention, and it's good for the community. Of course, we want it to be great. That adds more income, which adds more to the coffers. Which. Yes, we know how this all trickles down. And exciting to get the hospital demo on the way as well.
Yes, the old hospital site, we now call it Hopewell. That's the new neighborhood name of that, kind of derivative from an old house that was there in the original days of the hospital. They are going to start to see some demolition there and in the areas around it, probably in the months ahead, this summertime. We'll be doing some more public outreach on that, but the hospital is moving ahead with the decommissioning, and we're very excited about that new neighborhood and new opportunity for hundreds and hundreds of families eventually to live in a great spot in the city.
I got to call my buddy Adam Wason on that, because the light at what would that be? That would be there's a light down that way that just it still seems like it's on hospital time. We gotta get that.
Oh,
one.
Rogers, is it Rogers and Second? Or
you know what I'm talking about, right?
yeah. You should ask.
Where is everybody?
You should ask him too.
There's no cross traffic. I've been sitting here for 30 seconds. Come on, this isn't a busy place anymore. Now it's going to be very busy down the road, but we'll have some fun goofing with the director of public works on that. Hey, listen, thank you so much for your time and your insight. It's always appreciated. I look forward to our visits every Tuesday. And when I talk to you next Tuesday, it's going to be primary election day. So that'll be important as well.
Good. Always good to talk with you, Mike. Thanks for the questions and the chance to talk about what's going on in Bloomington. Appreciate it.